Thanks for listening here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller with my guest, Darren Bush, Chief Paddling Evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. Always great to have him along, and certainly we'll talk canoes and kayaks and paddling, even in Hawaii, because he just got back from a trip to Hawaii where he did some paddling. You may have some questions. It could be very basic questions, could be advanced questions regarding canoes or kayaks or paddling anywhere. I hope you'll join in. The number, 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org. And you can also go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show and post. We've had some photos posted already, Darren. By the way, great to have you along.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
That's one of the cool things about paddling. Sometimes you got your camera with you. You get some pretty cool shots.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, we're looking at a pretty cool picture right now, and that picture was from Tad. And let's see, his first trip to the Apostle Islands, shot from inside the sea caves of Devil's Island, looking out. Pretty cool.
Very cool. Yeah.
How are you?
You know, I'm good. I'm going through a little summer cold.
If
I sound like Barry White, that's why. but no, I'm great. Great paddling and great everything. The weather finally chilled out a little bit,
so we can get out there. Well, you were in Hawaii and you paddled with the whole family. Went.
Yeah, you know,
mom, dad, the kids.
My wife is way smarter than I am, and my daughter just graduated from university. My son just graduated from high school. And the chances of them ever getting in the same spot again for more than, you know, Christmas and stuff like that is pretty remote. And my wife said, we have a week and a half, 2 weeks, solid time. We're going to do it. We're going to Hawaii. And I said, we really can't afford that. And she said, you know, the kids are going to be gone. The credit cards will be hit off someday. We're just going to do it. And we did it. I'm really glad we did. It was a wonderful family vacation.
And you did some paddling there.
Oh, yeah. Every other day.
I saw photos on your Facebook page.
Yeah, we were in Kauai, which is called the Garden Island for a reason. The rainiest place on Earth is there, about 400 inches a year. And there's just waterfalls and just everywhere, beautiful, beautiful water. There's only the only island, I think the guides told me, the only island that has navigable rivers on it is Kauai.
Oh.
So there's three navigable rivers, the Hanalei, the Wailua, and the Waimea, and then there's the famous Nepali coast, which is, there are no words for it. It's just amazing.
Well, you know, stand-up paddling originated in Hawaii, but of course it's caught on worldwide. In fact, my colleague Joy Cardine has been trying her hand at it. And I've heard you describe it as having the simplicity of canoeing, the intimacy of kayaking, and the core strength of yoga.
You know, I don't remember saying that, but that's pretty cool.
You did. You did say that.
All right, great.
Why is it gaining in popularity so quickly?
It's simple. You know, it's really simple. And it allows you to get out really easily. All you need is a board and a paddle and a life jacket or some sort of flotation device. And you're higher up, so you can see down on the water better. You don't have that glare on the water surface. So in Hawaii, we saw a lot of people paddling around in calmer water, like in reefs and stuff, because they can see way down. And, you know, the tourists like to do it, and it's fun. In the surf zone, it's more of a religious discussion. A lot of the surfers there think it's a crutch. People who really do it like it a lot. I mean, Laird Hamilton does it. If Laird Hamilton does it, I think it's pretty much okay for surfers to do it, too. So yeah, it's a great sport. It's catching on nicely.
So it's not a surfboard, but what kind of board is it?
Yeah, it's similar to a surfboard. It's longer and a little bit wider, and sometimes a little more flotation. A lot of surfboards are, you know, 5.5-6 feet long with almost no flotation, because once you're moving on the wave, they plane. But in flat water, you need a little bit more flotation. One thing that has been an impediment in the Midwest is that there's no displacement boards. That is, boards that go in a straight line without thinking about it too much, more like a kayak you stand up on. And I'm going to a trade show next week, and my preliminary scouting shows there's going to be a lot of those boards. And for beginners who want to go out and paddle and not think too much about what direction they're going in.
Does it take a lot of strength?
No, it takes a lot of... Well, that's a hard question. It doesn't take a lot of strength to do it. It takes a lot of strength to go fast.
Okay.
But that's true of pretty much everything. You know, you can ride a bicycle 10 miles an hour without too much problem.
Our guest today, Darren Bush of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison, join in with your questions. Excuse me. As we talk kayaking and canoeing with him at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Jeannie Carpenter was asked by somebody who was going on a paddling trip and wanted to take some cheese that would survive in the, I forget if it was a UP or where, for 9 or 10 days. Have you ever taken cheese on a trip like that?
Oh, sure. Yeah. There's a couple different things I do. My favorite river lunch is a piece of bread, a goat cheese, and an apple. And, you know, goat cheese can get a little woofy, but what I do is I roll it up inside a sleeping bag with a little one of those little blue things you freeze. Mm-hmm. That keeps it nice for a couple, 3 days. And then a lot of folks who go way up north will take cheese and they'll basically wrap it in a cheesecloth soaked in vinegar and then dip that whole thing in wax 3 or 4 times to really seal it up. And I don't have any personal experience with that, but my information says it's good for a week to 2 weeks, sometimes longer.
Oh, so dip it in some paraffin.
Yeah, and use a hard cheese. You know, don't use soft cheese.
Right,
but you could use, you know, hard cheddar or, you know, something like that.
Dennis in Sussex has a question or comment. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. Darren, I was wondering about your opinion in a kayak, a skeg versus a rudder versus nothing at all. And we're talking, say, 16 to 18-foot kayak. You know, there are come across different opinions on both, and some people act like you're going to die if you don't have one or the other. So I was just wondering what you thought.
Yeah, and what's a skeg, by the way?
That's a wonderful, wonderful question. Okay, so a rudder is just like a ship's rudder. Yeah. It drops off the back, and it's controlled by your feet. So you can turn the boat or correct for wind and waves using the rudder. A skeg is a fixed blade that drops out of the bottom of the boat. So it's flush, but when you lower it, you can lower it down and it helps the boat track a little bit better, and it also adjusts for windage. And then nothing at all in a well-designed boat, nothing at all works quite well. But you have to be a good paddler and know what you're talking about. This is as much of a religious discussion as anything in paddling. You can get people just going off on it. I have both, and there's different reasons.
Yeah. So you don't prefer one over the other?
Well, personally, I prefer skeg boats. And one of the reasons in rough water, trying to do a rescue, when there's this big piece of metal flopping around in the back of the boat, you know, it's kind of like rescuing a kayak with a meat cleaver tied mm-hmm. to the back of it. A skeg is a little bit safer to deal with in those kinds of conditions. But long, skinny, fast boats, a rudder is a really good thing sometimes. It just depends on the situation.
All right. There you go, Dennis.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Jeff in Vermont Township, we'll turn to you now. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Larry. How you doing? Hey, Darren, your wife is a genius. I've been to the Napali Coast, and I'm wondering if you and your kids and wife had a chance to kayak around that sort of 16-mile stretch.
Yeah, that's what we did. It's 16 nautical miles, so it's about 17 miles, and that's the common stretch. You can do that in a day.
And did you guys camp overnight? I mean, you said words don't describe it, and it's true, they can't. But can you try to describe your that 16 miles?
Sure. So, I mean, if you just Google Napali Coast and look at the images, it's pretty amazing. It's very tall cliffs. They go up to about 3,000 to 4,000 feet, and very rugged, very volcanic, and they go straight down to the water. There's no beaches on most of it. There's a few little beaches here and there along the way, but as far as landing on the coast, it's pretty rare. The water is turquoise blue. You can see down 30 feet. There's sea turtles paddling all around you, and it's pretty amazing. The water is, I'm not going to say it's rough water, but it can be. I guess if you have your wits about you, it's not anything that a novice couldn't do, especially with a guide. There are camping trips you can do on there. You can do a 2-day, stay overnight, and play a little bit more and snorkel and things like that. But most folks do it in a day just because they don't have the time to do a camping trip.
All right. There you go. Thank you very much for calling. An email from Jane. I've heard that blue algae can be fatal to dogs. I like to take my dogs paddling, and my little one spends more time in the water than out of it. How do I know which lakes are having problems with blue-green algae on the day I want to go out? Is there a notification?
Yeah, you can usually see it, but I think the DNR does track lakes and issue warnings when it's too bad. I've never had any trouble with that with my dogs, even when they drink out of the water. I think it would take a massive amount to really make that happen. It depends on the size of the dog. And again, we should ask Trish instead of me. she's going to know better than I do. But yeah.
And here we go back again to the man who called in about what cheese to take on a wilderness canoe trip. Here are some suggestions from Phil in Mount Horeb. The green solution, by taking a 2-gallon baggie to a deep pool in a lake a couple of times per day, you can open it and collect cold water that will, in an insulated container, enable you to keep items much cooler than the ambient air would allow. Well, that makes sense to me. The more expensive and higher tech solution, the Crush It and its cold packs that athletic trainers use to reduce swelling.
Oh, sure.
On athletes' injuries will perform the same function. Just remember to pack the spent packs out of the wilderness. What do you think of that idea?
I think it's a great idea. It's very I've never thought of that before, but now people do take food and put it in a bag full of rocks and drop it down in the lake when the water's cold to keep it cool. That's brilliant. The crush packs, I don't know how many you want to pull out of there. But they do get very cold very quickly, though. It's kind of cool.
Darren Bush, our guest today, chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. Our guest here until 12:30 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking paddle sports for the next half hour with Darren Bush, owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. Larry Mueller here. Thank you so much for listening in. Join in with your questions. Maybe you have a question. What's your favorite destination? Maybe you have an exotic trip planned, or maybe you'd like to take an exotic paddling trip like Darren's. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org, or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Darren, speaking of that, we were able to put up some shots from your trip.
Yeah, I put up the album from Kauai. Some of the pictures are silly. That would be my daughter. But there's cool pictures in there of some paddling. So, yeah, enjoy them.
Actually, there are, we've got about 80 of them. So that's wonderful. We've got some callers online. So let's take another call. Clint in Duluth, Minnesota. It's on to you now. Hi, Clint.
Oh, hi. A couple comments. One is we've used Mazithra cheese, which we've been out for a month, and it's a goat cheese, very salty. We take a little cheese grater along. Using things like cold packs when you're canoeing for a long time, I don't think you want to carry all the extra weight. The question I have has to do with a double bent shaft. What is the theory behind having two bends in the paddle? And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
The theory is that when you grab the paddle, that you want to have as a neutral wrist position as possible. So if you imagine sticking your fist straight out and holding a broomstick, you'd have a 90-degree angle between your arm, your forearm, and the broom. That's optimal for your wrist. If you twist it at all, you can start to get into some, you know, repetitive motion kinds of things. So the theory behind the bent shaft paddle is it mitigates some of that bend. That's the theory. How it works, I don't know. There's some people who swear by them and some people who swear at them. I'm ambivalent. I've used them before and they seem to work pretty well, but it's a personal choice.
All right, there we go. Email from Jay. I just got back from another trip up the Gunflint on Sunday. After several trips, my Winona Kevlar Sundowner has a lot of scratches. Any suggestions for sprucing it up? Someone suggested spar varnish after a light sanding. These are just surface scratches, no rips or holes, at least not yet.
I would highly suggest to not varnish it. That is... a trick that some outfitters use to sell the boats at the end of the season. They'll varnish them to hide the scratches. And then in about 6 months to a year, the boat looks like it has leprosy. It'll start peeling off in big chunks. As long as it isn't through the Kevlar and you just have some light scratching, I would encourage you to ignore it. If it really bothers you and you start to see some fuzzing in the cloth, get a little bit of epoxy and just fill in those scratches with a little hobby paintbrush or something like that. But it's certainly not a problem structurally. A little bit of epoxy goes a long way, but by no means spar varnish it.
Question from Amanda on our Facebook page. Amanda and Galena, I want to go kayaking with my 100-pound dog. Do you know of any kayak suitable for paddling with your dog?
Oh, sure. There's plenty of them. I just got a Great Pyrenees puppy who's 60 pounds already, and she's only 6 months old. So I'll be looking at this hard. What people usually do with a dog of any size, 60, 70, 80, 100 pounds, is get a small tandem kayak and then pull the front seat out or adjust it so that it's not in the way of the dog. There's some resources online about how to paddle with your dog. There's one on a blog actually that I write for called artofmanliness.com. And if you go in there and search for paddling with your dog, it'll pull it up. It doesn't really matter. Whatever you use, you can use. A small canoe works really well with a kayak paddle. That's fine. But the boats that come to mind are a Wilderness Systems Pamlico 135T. It's a very small little tandem, 13 and a half feet. The other one is a boat called the Native Watercraft Ultimate 14.5, and that's 14 and a half feet. And you can get it in a solo or tandem. If you get it in the tandem, you can put the dog quite a bit forward. It has a flatter bottom. Dogs tend to like a little bit flatter bottom,
yeah,
just to get it in. And I put down some indoor outdoor carpeting or something so they can get a grip with their nails. But if you want to email me, I can give you more information directly.
Dean in Spring Valley, we turn to you next. Hi, Dean.
Hi. I would like your thoughts on the Mad River Independence canoe as far as its paddling characteristics and qualities, and also perhaps your thoughts on what a fair value for one would be. I understand they're not made anymore.
No, they're not. Are you looking to buy one or sell one?
Buy.
Okay. Is it fiberglass or Kevlar?
I believe it's Kevlar.
Okay, that makes a little bit of a difference. Yeah, they're not made anymore. They're very neutral boats. You know, they're right about the right length. You know, they're 15 feet, 15.3, something like that. Pretty stable, pretty fast. They do everything quite well, but nothing excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, if you lean the boat a little bit, it'll turn better. Mm-hmm. It tends to edge pretty nicely. I think they're really nice boats. And yeah, unfortunately, they don't really make them anymore. And I think solo canoes are more difficult to find a market for. It's just becoming less and less of something people do.
Uh-huh.
As far as fair market value, I don't really know. Somewhere between $400 and $800, depending on, you know, the shape. If it's in really good shape with wood gunnels, you know, I'd probably pay $650, $700 for it, maybe $750 if it's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
On the low end, and it's, you know, kind of beat up and stuff like that, the wood's gray, or, you know, it's got some rot in it, you know, $300,
$400. Yeah. Okay. That helps a lot. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Yep. Thanks, Dean. Sue in Richland Center. Hello.
Hi. Thanks, Larry and Darren. Love your show.
Thank you.
I've got a question. Sometimes I'm a lazy kayaker, and I like to flap my legs out, and I like to catch a little sun. This causes a little back problem, though, because I have a Precision. It's got a nice zone seat in it, but when you kind of slack yourself forward, you have this lumbar issue.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that is made that might even be just an inflatable to help position my back when I'm, especially like if I'm on the Wisconsin or a big open river where mostly I'm just going to float and relax? Is there anything that I can use in my seat to help support my back a little bit better?
Yeah, there is actually. Cascade Designs is a company that makes the Therm-a-Rest mattresses, and they do have something that is designed to kind of help pad a seat, put under your thighs, things like that. I think it's 4 or 5 inches thick, about the size of a loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm.
That might be something you can adjust and just kind of stick under your back and, you know, move it around. You can let air out of it or add more to until it fits the curvature you want. But I'd try one of those.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. And Jordan in Ashland, hello.
Hello. This spring, my wife and I went down to the Bear Paw on the Wolf River and took their fast water rescue class. And it was really, really great. The Quality of the instruction was fantastic. I can't recommend it enough for beginner to intermediate paddlers, especially if you're going to be out in the backwoods. You should know that stuff, and it was great. And I have a question, too. At Rutabaga, do you guys stock the Old Town Pack canoe? Because my wife is pretty tiny, and that would be about her size of a boat. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. In reverse order, yes, we do. That would be one choice, not a bad one. They're very light, 31 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Bear Paw, yeah, they're fantastic up there. They have great instructors. I'm surprised at how many times I've been on a river and seen people who are fairly experienced in terms of how long they've been out, how long they've been paddling, that have no idea what to do when things go wrong, even in like class 1-2. And I've pulled a lot of people off rocks and trees, and I've got some great stories about that up on like the Brule or the Flambeau. But yeah, it's you can't know too much, really.
No, absolutely. Thanks for that call. Email from Pat, I'm considering a Tsunami 160 kayak with a rudder. Can you discuss the positive attributes?
Sure. That's a big boat. It's not very long, 16 feet, but it's quite deep and quite wide. If you're a good-sized guy, yeah, that would be a good choice. I recommend you start without the rudder because it is retrofittable. And what I always tell folks is if you can paddle that boat without a rudder, then do it. And put that money you would spend on a rudder, which is a couple $100, into a better paddle. That's really the thing that drives the quality of the experience. Now, if you're getting out in big water, in big lakes where there's lots of wind, adding that on later is a great idea.
Bill in La Crosse, we're on to you now. Hi, Bill.
Hi, great program. And my question is, I have been an experienced canoeist for many, many years, but I'm considering switching or adding kayaks for myself and my wife, and we do primarily rivers all over the state, and I would like to know what length kayak would be appropriate for us at age 82 and 80, and I'm doing it primarily so I can have a little lighter weight to get up, put it up on top of the car.
Yeah, That's a really interesting question, and I like the fact that you bring in getting it up on top of the car, because a boat you can't load yourself, you might as well just take $500 and take a staple gun and staple it inside of your garage, and then you can look at it when you walk by.
No way.
And it's liquid when you need it. So yeah, it's an interesting question. It really depends on the type of water and your experience. Length is less important than the hull design. You can get a 16-foot boat that's very maneuverable, and you can get a 12-foot boat that tracks like a train. It just depends on the design of the boat. So that's a little more involved discussion, and love to have it with you.
Yeah, but what kind of design would you suggest I think about?
Well, okay, so all things considered, the shorter the boat, the more maneuverable. The wider the boat, the more stable.
Of course.
The more rocker in the boat, the more maneuverable it is as well.
Right.
And so it's just hard to answer that question because I need more information to really make that decision and to give you a good one, really. If you want to email me or call me, love to have that discussion with you. That'd be fun.
Okay, that'd be good.
All okay. Right, thanks a lot for calling. And I think we have your page up on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show as well. So somewhere in there, anyway.
800 iPaddle. Yep, that'll do.
Here's another Facebook comment from Deborah. For the fellow who wanted to take cheese and butter along on his canoe trip, he should pack the cheese in a drag bag. Very waterproof bag he fills with cheese, lowers it into the water, and fastens securely to the back of his canoe. Sort of a portable old-fashioned milk house. It cools as you move.
I think that's a great idea if you don't mind dragging a bag behind your boat. It just depends how fast you're going and all that. So I probably wouldn't do that because it would make the boat less efficient. But if you're just kind of paddling along and having a good time, there's no reason not to.
And actually, the listener who had the original question back on the show prior to this one, when we were talking about cheeses, has been following, listening, and reading the Facebook comments and really appreciates all the input from people. So, public radio people are always helpful. They always have good suggestions and good advice, and it's fun. It's fun to do this.
Absolutely.
To do this show. A question from Austin. My family has been paddling canoes and kayaks on the Wolf River for decades, and it offers a wonderful variety of everything from pristine landscapes and optimal trout fishing on the upper sections to wild whitewater and spectacular canyons further south, most notably Section 4. My girlfriend and I just gave my dad's old Mohawk canoe a new paint job and installed a center airbag and had a blast in the rapids when the river was at flood stage.
Cool. I'm glad he mentioned one thing that's super important is that center airbag.
yeah, what's that all about? Describe that.
Basically, think of it as something that it's, you know, 60 or 70 inches long, as deep as the canoe and as wide as the canoe, and it gets lashed into the center of the boat. So if the boat tips over, it's not going to fill completely with water. It'll fill with water, you know, somewhat, but it's going to float a lot higher. If that isn't in there and it gets wrapped around a rock or a tree, and it's going to bend like a taco, and you won't even get your boat off. You know, you think about the forces of water pushing on something that size. So, yeah, it's great to have it on there. As far as paddling in flood stage, hey, to each his own. if you had a good time, that's great.
I love it. We have some more callers online. By the way, you can join in with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can do it there, too. As long as you mentioned the Wolf River, it got me thinking about other places. If you're, people are probably planning to stick closer to home this year and still have a lot of time yet to enjoy paddling here in Wisconsin. What are some fun paddling destinations in different parts of the state?
Or world.
Yeah, or well, anyway. But, well, state of Wisconsin.
Okay. Well, there's so many. I mean, I think there's 14,000 navigable miles of river in Wisconsin. For novices who just want to get out there and see different kinds of rivers, I mean, the Kickapoo is famous. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. The upper part, you know, Ontario down to Lafarge is wonderful. I would also recommend the Grant. Now, the Grant River is down just south of Lancaster, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And that runs down into the Mississippi at Potosi. It's a lot like the Kickapoo in some places, but much less traveled. I've only seen one other person on there in all the years I've been paddling it. The Sugar River is wonderful. You need to be aware of, you know, downfall and figure out a way to pull your boats over or around them. But you can get on the Sugar River just south of Madison on Riverside Road and paddle down to the mill at Paoli and get ice cream. It's about a 3-hour paddle, and it's wonderful. I mean, the lower Wisconsin, of course. The Lemon Weir is another one that's not paddled very much. And that's a twisty Tuna River up by Baraboo, just north of Baraboo a little bit. And then the Baraboo River is also nice. And then there's, you know, Lake Superior. But people forget Door County. Door County's got some wonderful paddling there. And the water is 20 degrees warmer than Lake Superior, which is never a bad thing. So if you just want to go up and paddle a little bit as a novice, Door County is a great place to start in the Great Lakes.
Let's go to Don in Three Lakes, Wisconsin. Hi, Don.
Good afternoon.
Hello, what's on your mind?
I just thought I would mention, especially since you mentioned Lake Superior a minute ago, just this past weekend, the Coast Guard had to pull an emergency rescue and pull four kayakers out of Lake Superior at the Pictured Rocks. It's a beautiful place to go visit in a kayak. I've done it myself, but they don't call it the Pictured Rocks because it's a beautiful sand beach, and these people got flipped in 4-foot waves. Three of them were clinging to the rocks in 56-degree water, being splashed on them by the 4-foot waves, and the third fella was tossed out of his kayak, and his kayak disappeared, and he was on the beach a few miles away. So Lake Superior has to be treated with a great deal of respect. I've sailed out there commercially since 1957, and I took one dip in there, and in 56-degree water, that ain't no fun.
No.
And 56 is a warm day. It needs to be treated with respect, and there have been several incidences on the Lake Superior. There's a kid died about 6 weeks ago. He was out with some of his friends. The thing is, they were completely unprepared. They had the wrong boats. They weren't wearing the right gear, if you have the skills and the gear in the right conditions, it's not particularly dangerous. But if you're missing one of those things, it turns into a big problem pretty fast. And it was a completely unnecessary death. It was very sad.
Joe in Eau Claire, on to you now. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good to hear. I just really wanted to call in with kind of a memory that I had paddling. The first time that I had ever captained a canoe, I think I was probably about 11, and my little brother was 6, and my dad sent us down the Red Cedar River, and, you know, it was a kind of scary at first, but one of the most memorable trips I've ever had. And I think that it's a great activity that, you know, kids can do, younger kids can do in the summer, and it's really fairly safe, and just how special that was.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. A lady came in the shop yesterday with her husband. She and they were on their way up to camp up in northern Wisconsin. And they had a newborn, 6 weeks, 8 weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, when's the best time to start taking your kid out in a canoe? And I said, on the way home from the hospital. You know, there's really no bad time. In fact, the younger they are, sometimes the easier it is. And yeah. Just make sure they have the right, you know, PFD and you know, keep your wits about you. But it's a wonderful family activity. My kids can't remember when they couldn't paddle. You know, it's like it's in their memory from the very first part. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great story, Joe. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. My wife actually had a paddling experience not long ago here in Madison with a 14-year-old gal from her 13-year-old from her grade school basketball team. They did the paddle and portage.
And
they'd never been in the canoe together. And they did it, and my wife had to carry the canoe the whole way. That's 60 pounds. That's a lot of weight to carry up and down those hills. But they won their division.
Hey, that's cool. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. It's such a wonderful event and such a community builder. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great event. Seth in Eau Claire, hello to you.
Hi, I have a question about transporting kayaks. I like to tie it to the top of my truck with sort of like a ratchet tie. And I'm always worried about whether or not I'm ratcheting it too tight, whether it's going to cause structural damage in the heat. Or, you know, I like to have it as secure as possible when I'm moving. And I want to know if that could be damaging to the structure of the kayak.
It can be. So here's a horrible story. A guy had a brand new Kevlar canoe, you know, over $2,000. And he put it on top of his truck and got those ratcheting straps, you know, the big yellow ones. And he's going clickety, clickety, clickety. I'm like, that's probably tight enough. He's like, no, I want it tight. And all of a sudden, you hear this kabang. And he actually broke the core of the boat. Those things have so much leverage.
Oh.
And he just kind of looked at me and said, now what? I'm like, we start over again. Time to repair it. But if it's a plastic boat, less so. But you really don't need it that tight. You need to tighten enough that doesn't move. And then use a bow and stern line. It's going to snug it down. Those three things, if you're missing any one of them, you know, the stern line is probably the least important, but you really need to get it tight enough. But yeah, watch the ratchets. They can be really tough on boats.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. So a $2,000, oh boy.
Yeah, what happened is where the core meets the side ribs that stiffen it, it just blew apart. He had put so much pressure on that thing. And normally those boats are bomb-proof. You can jump up and down on them, but you got that big ratchet going. You can really, really crank on it.
You can torque it up. Wow. Well, here we have lots of callers and questions yet, Darren, but we're out of time. Thank you so much. What's your website? Well, we actually have it up on the Facebook page, but what is it?
It's just rutabaga.com.
Rutabaga.com.
And if they have any questions just for me, they can call my direct line,
mm-hmm.
which is 608-819-0059, or they can email me, darrenb@rutabaga.com.
Thanks, Darren. We'll look forward to your next visit. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Darren Bush, Chief Paddling Evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. He will be back and we'll talk with him again. Sorry we didn't get to everybody. I'm sorry it made Darren come over here when he's got a cold. He had a miserable one of those summer colds that are always a problem. Sam Thayer with us tomorrow to talk about where to forage for midsummer treats like berries. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.